This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I met a lovely couple called Jim and Marilyn Gibson at the funeral of a mutual friend recently, and they sent me tracks from their CD, which is called Never Too Late. They both took up the harp in their 60s, and it's their music you're hearing right now. Not long ago, out of the blue, Marilyn was diagnosed with advanced kidney cancer, which is at present being contained by immunotherapy treatment. So, raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support, Kidney Cancer UK, and the Teenage Cancer Trust by way of their music is very important to them and has given them both something to concentrate on in what has been a very difficult and uncertain time. If you'd like to hear more, then leave a message for them or purchase their CD by looking them up on the Jim and Marilyn Gibson music page of Facebook. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. In today's reading from the Gospel of John, we're told that the disciples were having a difficult and uncertain time too. They were in hiding when female followers of Jesus reported the amazing news that they'd just come from Jesus' tomb and it was empty. Mary Magdalene also told them that she'd actually encountered the risen Jesus herself face to face. What were the disciples to make of this? But later that same day, they too saw the risen Jesus for themselves when he appeared to them. That is, all except one, whose name was Thomas. He hadn't been in the upper room with the others at the time. I wonder if you've ever missed out big time like that on some event in your life and how you coped with such a disappointment. We'll hear all about this in a moment, but first the song, He Is Risen, here by Noel Richards.
He has risen, he has risen, he has risen, Jesus is alive. He has risen, he has risen, he has risen, Jesus is alive. When the life flowed from his body, seemed like Jesus' mission failed. But his sacrifice accomplished victory over sin and hell. He has risen, Jesus is alive. In the grave God did not leave him, for his body to decay. Raised to life the great awakening, Satan's power he overcame. He has risen, he has risen, he has risen, Jesus is alive. He has risen, he has risen, he has risen, Jesus is alive. When the Lord rides out of heaven, mighty angels at his side,
So let's read about Thomas in our Gospel reading today from John 20, 19 to 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Let's listen to Chris Rice singing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow."
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
The doors of the house were locked for fear of the Jews, it says there. I've read this story of the resurrection account many times, and because of this one sentence, where the disciples had hidden themselves away behind locked doors, I've always pictured them as rather cowardly and weak individuals, in contrast to the women followers who had been serving Jesus faithfully as best they could, both at the cross and at his tomb. But now I see them in a different light, as shell-shocked individuals, utterly bereft, possibly suffering from post-traumatic stress, unable to move and process what had just happened. They'd pinned all their hopes and dreams upon Jesus as their Messiah and their King, and they'd been there when he was taken from them and arrested. They couldn't have been closer to him. They loved him and respected him. And to have either witnessed or simply heard about the way in which he was treated, in the way he'd been humiliated, violated, mocked, flayed, and then made to carry his crosspiece through the streets must have been like some horrible nightmare that they were desperate to escape from. How many of us can identify with this kind of reaction? Have we at some point in our lives become numb with shock, terrified and totally unable to help someone we loved who was suffering in this way? Wouldn't they also have been riddled with guilt? For they had failed Jesus. They had deserted him the night he was betrayed by Judas, and Peter had denied even knowing him. Their faith had failed each one of them. Let's listen to Pete Scott singing "Faith Don't Fail Me Now."
I've been trying on my own, been almost done and nearly dying on my own, alone and never coming to believe, refusing to receive the gifts you offer to me. To ride the highway in the night means riding blindly like a child into the night, while never wondering why we are drawing breath, refusing to accept the death you suffered for me. When my lock and key mentality was close to tearing down the line from you to me, and I can't see or bend my knee, when I'm full of my grief, thinking only of my own pain and its relief, in a world that's always moving, never still, and I forget the hill you climbed to set me free. When I can't go on, and hope seems gone, I see the tree.
John goes on to tell us, "Then Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord." Such words as this are a typical Middle Eastern greeting, "Peace be with you," meaning, "May God bless you with every good thing." These defeated and dispirited men were suddenly lifted up out of their despair on seeing Jesus, and filled with great excitement and renewed hope. Try to imagine the looks on their faces. It says here, they rejoiced. Surely this is an understatement. Couldn't John, the Gospel writer, have used a far better word than just rejoiced? How about they were ecstatic, or mesmerized, or gobsmacked? I would have been all of these if I'd suddenly seen someone that I knew who'd died, wouldn't you? But what a wonderful moment that must have been for them, to see their Lord and Master again, alive and well, and for them all to know that they could face their tomorrows with confidence. The cause that they had given their lives to had not been in vain after all. They now knew that Jesus really was the Messiah, the Son of God. His resurrection appearance was proof of this. All that he had predicted had come true, that he would die and rise again. There must have been such a deep sense of awe and wonder when they saw his wounds. Our next hymn is "Christ is Risen, He is Risen Indeed," and it's sung here by Keith and Kirsten Getty.
Sacrifice to conquer every sting of death. Sing, sing hallelujah. For joy awakes as dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Powerfully save. He frees our hearts to live His grace. Go tell of His goodness. Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. Oh, sing hallelujah. Join the chorus, sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, He is risen.
John tells us that Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the moment when Jesus passes on the baton of ministry to his disciples. They needed to take it up where he had lain it down. And that goes for us too, his followers. For if we don't pass on the good news, who will? Jesus breathed the breath of the Holy Spirit into his disciples, just as God first breathed life into Adam. And soon, within a matter of weeks, the Holy Spirit would complete the process at Pentecost. Here's "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," sung by Chor Kapstad.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do. Breathe on me, breath of God,
Thomas was the only disciple not there in the upper room when Jesus appeared. Why was this? Perhaps he was the only disciple brave enough to venture outside, or the only one to feel the need to get away to process and think through what had just happened and consider what to do next. He certainly wasn't stunned and inert like the others who sat there nursing their grief. Thomas was honest and straightforward. He was someone who would never say he believed in something if he didn't. But on his return, when the disciples told him they'd seen Jesus, his negative reaction was quite understandable. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe, he said. He was not going to just take their word for it. He wanted to see Jesus for himself. And not long afterwards, he did. When Jesus visited them all again a week later, it seems that he knew all about Thomas's negative reactions and stipulations, and he went directly to him, saying, "Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Is Jesus saying the same to us today? Stop doubting and believe. Here's a beautiful song, a prayer really, for those who, like Thomas, would dearly love the opportunity of seeing and knowing Jesus. It's called "Open Our Eyes, Lord." This is how John tells that part of the story. A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Thomas was so utterly convinced by what he saw and by the wounds he actually touched that he fell in worship at Jesus' feet. What a transformation! A traditional Jew like Thomas would certainly not have uttered such words as these in worship before any man, not even as a mere exclamation. His words were a natural outpouring of what he had witnessed. And Jesus does not rebuke him for saying so, "My Lord and my God." Jesus adds, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So belief comes before blessings. For it's when we believe, we find ourselves blessed. It's that way round, and we must take that step forward in faith and reach out trusting. And only in perfect trust and perfect obedience can we go forward and achieve anything for God. You know, Thomas was one of the most convincing eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, simply because he was such a skeptic. but the minute he saw Jesus for himself, he knew he had not been forgotten after all, or excluded. Perhaps his absence was meant to be, to convince similar doubters down through the centuries. That's all we have time for today, everyone. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technical assistant.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. Here's Beverly Knight, one of my favourite singers, singing a beautiful song called I Am Not Forgotten. Let's listen to it and remember how very precious we are to God. Bye for now.